Well, brothers and sisters, it's a privilege for me to be here with you all. As Father Barnett mentioned, this is just my first year of priesthood, so I'm very much just learning the ropes. But I've known the Boise guys for a long time, Charlie and Ian and Nathan, Toby not as long, but the guys have been a big part of my life, and I'm very grateful to be able to come here and spend this time with you all. I asked Father Ratuisti, you know, I know he's not here today, but I asked him if there's anything in particular that he'd like me to preach about when I'm here. And he said to share a little bit about my first year of priesthood and a little bit about my seminary journey. So I'll do both of those things briefly. So first, something about first year of priesthood. It's been awful. Just quit. Don't do it. Quit right now. No, of course, I'm joking. It's been wonderful. It's been just really miraculous, just really... I'm in awe every day to see, to know that I'm a priest of Jesus Christ, that I've been configured to him in this way, and to see the ways that he's been working through me completely, not to my gifts or calling or worthiness or anything of this, but just really for his choice and his work in me. So it's been really wonderful. But one little snippet that I think is helpful for us is, just over Holy Thursday, the priests in my deanery had a gathering, and we had a meal together. It was wonderful to celebrate the priesthood together on Holy Thursday. And the dean of our deanery led us in reading a reflection and having all of us do a little bit of sharing. And one of the priests in our midst was a priest who works in formation, in seminary formation on the East Coast. He was visiting us that weekend. And he shared that the guys in his seminary, they happen to focus primarily, when they come in, they focus on pastoral formation and intellectual formation, and they're really concerned about the liturgy, and this is what everybody wants to talk about. And he was suggesting that it's most fruitful if we can focus on our human formation and in our own spiritual formation, if we can make this shift. And I know he was talking about a seminary in the East Coast. This doesn't apply to you brothers at all. But it was certainly the case for me that when I went to seminary, I was really just focusing on the liturgy, you know, and how, what the things I'm going to do, the work that I'm going to carry out there in pastoral ministry. And I think once I started making this shift of, okay, maybe human formation, my own human formation, maybe my own spiritual formation, things started to open up and things started to change in a very positive way. Maybe one little paradigm to remember that is just, instead of thinking of how to dad, you know, how to be a father, more like how to son, how to be a son, how to be a son of the Father. And I know you've been hearing this from IPF and from Bob Schutz and all the rest, and I was privileged to be exposed to their teachings as well. But it didn't all sink in at once. You know, it's one thing to hear these messages, somebody say to us, you know, here's the lecture for you. And it's another thing for us to begin to integrate in our lives. And for me, it was really painful. It was a really painful process for that to happen. And it eventually led to a year of a sabbatical where I was living in North Idaho. And I came up here to Spokane and visited with Father John Murphy every month or twice a month sometimes. And he very patiently guided me. So I'm very grateful for that. And I know many of you are for his guidance as well. But it kind of, in a sense, that year kind of climaxed in a baptism. So I have some good friends in North Idaho, and one of them had just had a baby, and so I went to visit them. This was right before Holy Week, right before I went into retreat, and I was holding their baby. You know, his name is Mikey, we call him, and I was holding him, and my friend started asking, you know, what do you think about priests being godparents and seminarians being godparents? And I was totally naive and clueless. I didn't know where his question was going, but I gave some abstract answer. And then he said, you know, what about you? Would you be a godfather to Mikey? And as I'm holding Mikey. And I was really floored by that, because I was in this moment of crisis, of indecision, basically leaving the diocese. And I said that to him, you know, you guys are crazy. Why would you ask me to be the godfather of your son when I'm basically on my way out? And they said, yeah, you know, we know that that's a possibility, but we don't care. We just want it to be you. We just choose you. And that, you know, then I went into retreat with that. And that really kind of made all the difference, because I started to see that this is the Father's faithfulness towards us, right? He's not waiting for us to make a decision. He's not waiting for us to accomplish tasks. He's not waiting for us to carry out a great mission. He just comes to us and says, I choose you. I choose you to be my son, and I'm choosing to be your father. And that's what gave me the freedom to then say yes to the diocese, say yes to the priesthood, say yes to this particular ministry. But it's not like God chose the ministry for me or chose the priesthood for me. God chose me. And that's the same thing for all of you. God is choosing you. God is choosing you to be in this relationship with you, to be your father. He wants all of you to be his sons. Of course, we are all his sons and daughters, but he wants us to live as that, to live out of that. And so with this, you know, with this lens, we can hear some of these readings. They can start really kind of to pop for us. You know, whoever, Jesus says, whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is what Christ has come to do. He didn't come to send us out to work. Okay, that's part of it. But no, he came to us so that we may have life and have it abundantly. This is the first paragraph of the catechism. This is something that if you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to spend some time with this, where the catechism says that God created us to share in his blessed life. This is why God has created us, to share in his life, to become his adopted children, heirs of his blessed life. That's what it's all about. God wants us to live in him, to share in his life. So he's coming to save us. You know, I was considering whether or not to share this anecdote from a movie, and in walking with Nathan and Charlie beforehand, they convinced me to do so. So this movie, I Am Legend, raise your hand if you've seen it. I Am Legend. Just a couple of you. Okay, four or five. So not super popular, but really brief synopsis is it's an apocalypse, zombie apocalypse with Will Smith maybe 15 years ago. And the way that the movie is presented in the theaters is, you know, there's the zombie outbreak and Will Smith is the lone survivor and he's trying to figure out a cure, an antidote. And he, at the end of the movie, the zombies are coming to him and they're basically going to kill him. And he realizes, oh, I not only do I have the antidote that I've concocted from my blood, but now I have to sacrifice myself. So he goes out and sacrifices himself and the movie ends. So it's this, you know, inspiring Hollywood story about self-sacrifice. Well, it turns out that's not how the book is written, and they actually made an alternative ending. And in the alternative ending, we find out that Will Smith's character had been running these experiments on this zombie that he had captured. And this was a female zombie who happened to be the wife or the girlfriend of the main alpha zombie, male zombie. And so these zombies are actually coming towards him, not because they hate him or something, but rather because he had captured their wife, his wife. And so they're coming to rescue her. And in this final scene, this is the exact same setup, but in this final scene, he comes to realize, oh, actually, I'm at fault. I'm the problem here. And so now he opens the door and goes out. They don't kill him, as he had been afraid. He goes out and he says to them, I'm sorry. They growl at him. He wakes her up with some potion. They take her, they embrace, and they run away. And the movie ends. Much less exciting ending for a Hollywood, why it didn't make it to the screens, but much more true to the Christian life. We go out, we think we're going to, you know, be these great heroes that are going to put our lives down to save others. Okay, fine, there's a place for that. There's a role in that, so to speak. We're going to be fathers, perhaps. But the foundation is we're sons. We are in our own way. So we want to get out of the way and let the Lord to come, allow him to come and save us. And so in closing, I'll just read again the psalm that was so beautifully proclaimed tonight. As the hind longs for the running waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. Athirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. Then will I give you thanks upon the harp, O God, my God.